listening. What's wrong with this thing? I think it's busted.
Busted. Busted mouth. Busted mouth.
What's going on, ladies, gentlemen, those beyond the binary, poets, perverts, explorers of all kinds, busy beavers, angry birds, those who find anthropomorphism creepy. Welcome to Busted Mouth on Q4 Radio, a show about rock and roll, sticking it to the man and your big stupid feelings, streaming around the world every single Monday, mostly, except for days like today when some things don't go exactly according to plan and we start a little bit late. But anyway, most Mondays from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. on Apple Radio, the TuneIn app, 1680 a.m. in Chicago, and of course, QUE4.org. Shots, I'm J.W. Basillo. Yes, that's my name. I'm your host, as always. Happy Monday. I hope it's going well for you. You deserve it. If you got the day off because you're a government employee, good for you. Let's party. What is it, President's Day? Whatever day it is, I couldn't possibly care less. But we're here. We're here. Writer-performer Adrienne Gunn is on the show today. She's silly and dark and smart and fun, and I'm looking forward to talking with her. What about you? How are you? You doing okay? I mean, really. Let's be honest with ourselves. Are you hanging in? Do you need to have a hard conversation with yourself? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Are you out there just absolutely killing it? What are you doing? Is it working? Are you mad that you've already bailed on your New Year's resolution? I don't know. Some people are. Mine, I guess I didn't talk about this, but mine was to pay more attention to single-use disposables. That's right. I'm a grown man now, and these are the kind of resolutions that I make. Never what I expected was to pay more attention to single-use disposable products, but I am. I haven't completely eliminated it because we don't live in that world, but I mostly have put a pretty decent dent in the amount of single-use things that I am using. So that's good. I'm just being cognizant. I'm being more mindful. That's a resolution I can get behind. If it's a hard deadline, I'm screwed. But if it's like a, yes, let's make the effort, cool. And I am making the effort, so that's good. And what was the other one? I am trying to remove my dependence on one, Amazon.com. I don't know if you've heard of them. But Amazon apparently doesn't need to pay taxes, and they can't pay their workers a fair share, and they still make billions, and then Bezos doesn't also get all of my money, too. So I'm trying to reduce my thing there. You know, Prime is the hard one. That's really the hard thing. Any kind of streaming service or anywhere, because Prime, like, has everything, you know, and they're the easiest way to get video on demand and things like that. But there are alternatives, so you got to kind of dig for them. So I've been on alternative streaming services whenever possible, and if I do need to shop online, I try to avoid Amazon if I can. So I'll use Wayfair or eBay or something of that nature. And look, I understand that it's not just like, hey, we're giving up a terrible thing and now we're putting all this good in the world. I get that, like, it's a step down from, like, slavery to indentured servitude, if you really want to be glib and dark about the analogy. So it's not a perfect resolution, but it certainly helps a little, and I feel better about it, right? I mean, I don't know. I haven't received an Amazon delivery since, like, before Christmas, and I guess I'm okay with that. I'm rambling. I don't know how I got... Right, I'm talking about Amazon, so I don't have to talk about how frustrated I am and anxious about some other stuff, like work or Slack or work Slack or waking up, you know, or waking up with a flat tire. Like I did. That was a party. Recently, last week, getting a big hard one for releasing a new album for some reason on my birthday that I thought was a good idea. And now I've said it, so I have to make it. But now I'm stuck and I can't produce anything that doesn't suck right now. And I hate music forever. You too? Cool. Gonna be a fun Monday. All right. Okay. Let's take a break. Let's take a second here. Let's all take a nice deep breath. Let's shake the dust, to quote my friend Anise. Let's shake the dust off of things a little bit. I am seeing, speaking of shake and dust, what? I have no idea. I'm seeing Shaky Graves tonight in Evanston at Space, which I'm very excited about in theory, but I am having a hard time being actual viscerally excited about it. I wish I was more excited, but I got to clear some corpses off my tracks today. I got some things to take care of, like new tires and hard conversations and all kinds of things that I'm not looking forward to, so I'm just going to keep rambling. Let's party. Here's a rock and roll. This is a throwback. This is a band I used to listen to a lot, and then I just completely. You know how just sometimes you just bands disappear. Like last week, if you were listening to the podcast or to the live show, you know, we talked about how there are people that come into your life and they are there and they're a part of you, and then one day they're just gone, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. They're just gone. So anyway, let's party. This is the Stereophonics. We'll be right back. 1680 AM in Chicago. I'm J.W. Vasily, your host, as always. Hope you're enjoying your President's. Is it President's Day? Is that what it is? Is it President's Day?
It's President's
okay,
Day.
Okay, all right, good. That voice, who I've just immediately thrown under the bus in a very shocking, like, what? This is radio and we're live now, son? That's Adrian Gunn. Say hi.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. You are a person. I'm going to switch. You're a person. See how good I am at this job?
You're great at it. I was just thinking you have, like, a really smooth radio voice.
It's
really nice, actually.
I was hearing that for so many years before I started doing radio that I was like, you know what? I should probably just do radio.
It's really nice.
Thank you. That's nice of you to say. I'm going to switch mics and get a little closer. You and I'll get make we'll make eye contact. We'll be like real human beings.
Oh, wow.
Real grown ass adults.
Wow.
So this is Adrian Gunn. Adrian, you are a writer, a performer. You you got websites. You have a solo show. You write for the Chicago Magazine.
Wow.
The Chicago Magazine. Chicago Magazine.
I think it's just Chicago Magazine. Yeah.
Well, I used to work
close enough.
Yeah. You're doing great. I used to work for a theater that was like, you know, had the in the title.
Right.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're here. This is exciting. I was not sure if you would do the show.
Why?
Because I always assume no one will do the show. Like, I just, I'm that way. But you specifically.
Well,
like,
you definitely waited until, like, I got a little famous. to ask me.
I don't think that's true.
I mean, I'm not famous, just to clarify to everyone. But, like, I did have a very small moment of, like, infamy when pot became legal.
I do want to get into that.
In that video.
I do want to get into pot, but I do want to get into that story. I had Jeremy in.
Right.
And I was like,
Yeah.
And he's like, why don't you just ask Adrian? And I was like, I don't know, because maybe she wouldn't want to do it, and then I'll get my feelings hurt, is really what it was.
I mean, you know, we go way back, so.
Yeah. So yeah. I usually, like, book it, like, 8 people at a time.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of, like, go, all right, good, because I hate booking.
Right.
Like, you know how that goes.
For
like,
sure.
Just, it's such a nightmare. So I book in, like, big chunks.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next chunk comes, I'm like, I need people.
Right.
And then, you know, you're on the list.
And here I am.
And here you are.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, you usually work days, so it could be a little tricky,
yes.
But you get the day
but it's
off.
It's President's
so.
Day. Brought my kid with me, and
it's
we're
wild.
Like doing it.
You're such a mom. Like, look at, you're such an adult.
I did wear yoga pants.
Yeah. But you're wearing yoga pants, but also like a pair of Adidas shell toes and matching track jacket.
Right.
So
I try to keep it sort of cool if I can.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Good. Yeah. No, you're doing great. All right, I have to ask you the question I ask everybody.
Okay.
I don't want to just sit here and bust your chops. The first record or first album you ever bought with your own money.
Oh, God. I mean...
That you can remember anyway.
This is you busting my chops. I'm pretty sure it's probably a New Kids on the Block moment.
Yeah, I had New Kids on the Block too. I'm not like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember also like cassette tapes of Madonna. One where it's like blue on the cover and like a little oceany. I don't think that's like a virgin. It's like before that. New Kids on the Block would be like my first concert, my first like stuff.
Well, I think everybody had like records, tapes, things like that
as
kids. But there's like that thing where you go, I have this money and I'm going to spend my money on my music and my dad can't tell me that I can't have it because it's my money.
Yes.
Right. And I famously, everyone. The huge crowd that listens to the show, both of them, they're like, mine was Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood.
Oh, nice.
You know, so mine's
that's
just as bad,
cooler.
Just
no,
as bad
I
as yours.
I think that's cool. Like a little hair metal moment.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's pretty cool.
But I also was like way into the New Kids. That's right. Because I was a young
boy. How old are you?
I'm a couple years younger than you are. Like literally 2 years younger than you are.
How old do you think I am?
You're 25, right?
Exactly. I'm just surprised you specifically know our age gap.
Well, it's not like we don't know each other.
No, we know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a couple years younger than you are.
Okay.
So, like, we grew up around the same age. We would have been in high school at the same time.
Yes.
And no one ever seemed to... Anyway. But you were about the New Kids.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite New Kid?
Oh, obviously Jordan. I had a pillowcase with his face on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, I was a very basic person until I turned like 30.
and then what happened?
Well, you know, I got divorced. I had a kid. I got divorced. Like I went through some shit and then I became a more interesting person. Oh, at the same time, I was also doing like my MFA. So it was like a lot happening at once. And I became a much more interesting person like through all those experiences. But before that, it was very like New Kids on the Block, you know, full house.
I know an acquaintance of mine from Grand Rapids is like the biggest, is still a New Kids fan, like goes on the New Kids cruises.
Oof.
She and Donnie like kick it on social media.
Wow.
They know each other.
Wow.
Like, they're not friends, right. But he's...
But she's a super fan.
She's a super fan, but yeah. like, not a creep about it. Yeah. So he always, like, finds her when they do nice. Events and stuff, and they talk and whatever. But it's like, that's some real commitment.
It really is, especially to keep it going this long.
Yeah, I got teased for liking the New Kids because I didn't know any better. Because, right. you know, when you're a kid, you don't know what's gay. But... But everyone else around you does.
I was gonna say,
else does.
That's not super woke, JW.
Oh, no. I was all about the New Kids.
Yeah.
And I was quite a very specific type of young child.
Yes.
I didn't understand why everybody gave me a hard time about
right.
it. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes. you don't understand that concept
right.
of masculinity being attached to the music you listen to. You're
correct.
Like, they're all cool guys. All the girls like them. Why wouldn't I like them?
Why wouldn't you be into it? Good
yeah.
beats.
Right. I was I like Jonathan. I had a favorite New Kid. Do you understand? Like, there was no... I was raised by 13-year-old babysitter.
We should do, like, a whole... like blog post about like what your favorite New Kid says about you.
Yeah.
Because Jonathan was definitely like the safe one.
He was the brooding
one. I mean, he was definitely gay.
Well, he's the only one who's actually gay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He was like safe and sweet and like, you know, quiet. And he was your favorite.
He had the bass parts.
Yeah.
You know, I always thought that was good. And now that I've grown into this voice, it's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. He was step one, you know, like you could have lots of fun.
Oh,
he had those parts.
Man. That was a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Oh. I got a New Kids t-shirt for Christmas from my aunt. And even then, I was like, as a kid, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to wear this to school.
Oh, wow. Did you?
No.
Yeah,
no.
That would have been tough.
It really would have been something.
That would have been tough.
It really would have been something.
But conversely, I feel like if we got you one now, you should definitely wear it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I just thought they were like the Jackson 5 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they're just cool. Yeah. Like, who doesn't like... No, different game. Anyway, let's keep it moving. All right. So you said we touched on the cannabis thing. Let's go there. So
okay,
I recently saw you on the Instagrams.
Yes.
On the gram. Recently saw you did a thing for the Chicago magazine.
Right.
Did a thing for Chicago magazine with Dispensary 33 that
yes.
Has those are good friends of mine and the
yes.
show. And for my dollar, the best. I've only spent dollars at that dispensary. So yeah, they're definitely the best dispensary.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But they were the first.
Yeah.
So tell me about it.
Okay.
Okay, well first tell me about it. What a great interview question that was. So how did that like whole thing come about? I mean, obviously cannabis
yeah.
being legal, just recently being legalized in Illinois, it of course makes sense that an editor would be like, we obviously need to cover this.
Yeah.
How did you become the person though?
Yeah. So I've been working with them. I've been like writing some things. I write a column with them. And when I do my column, we usually do some like video content as well to go up on the web later. So they asked me like, hey, will you come to the dispensary like the week that pot was legal and we'll do like a little like how to. And mm-hmm. I was like, great. So we went over there. It was my first time at the dispensary, which I think maybe is also why they're like, we'll bring Adrienne. You mm-hmm. know, she's like 40 years old. She's a single mother. She's not hanging at the dispensary. It'll be like, we'll get some authentic reactions.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it was the funniest thing, though. So I got there. It was like one of the days when the lines were still like way down the block.
Right.
And there's all these security men. And they were like, I'm like, I'm here with Chicago Magazine. And they were like, well, who are you here to see? It was very dramatic. And they went and got my person. And then they brought me like up to the front with my video guy. And we're filming. And they brought me into like the waiting room to mm-hmm. do like a little like they're going to scan my license. And like everyone in the waiting room was like, oh, shit. Oh, sorry. They were like, oh, shoot.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. And they were all like
covering
you know,
their
like,
faces.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like
yes.
it's legal. You can't go. All right. Okay.
Right. Like nobody wanted to be on camera.
Of course not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And then we like went in. I'd never been in there. It's beautiful.
It's a really beautiful
like,
space.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a really
yeah.
like well curated. Cool space.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I didn't anticipate them getting a recreational license. So when the recreational news went through, I was like, all right, it didn't affect me anything because
right.
I got a medical card.
Right.
And it didn't really, I thought it was great, obviously, for everything, but it didn't affect me so much. At one point in time, I work with the folks there, and at one point in time, the manager who you did the spot with,
right.
Like walked into my space and brought, had like a thousand, they all do only cash there. So everything
That's
they do
what
is
I
cash.
Found out.
So like,
yeah.
they, so she came to pay a deposit at the shop
yeah.
with like $1,000 in cash. I was like, what are you doing walking over? She's like, I only had cash and I just had to pay this deposit. And I was like, okay, cool. Don't do that again. I'll come pick it up. Like, right. Stop it. And then also, what else is going on? She's like, well, we just got this recreational license. And I went, wait a minute. No one in the city of Chicago was supposed to get a recreational license till April. Like, that was the that was what everybody was of the understanding. But then they got the rec license. And then immediately I went, I'm not waiting in line with these yokels. I got to find another dispensary. Because, like, I'm not gonna hang out with you normies on the street. I don't wait in line for anything.
Yeah.
At all, ever. I do not wait in line. So if there was a line, I was like, I don't want to do it. It's like, well, we're going to work it out. So the medical, but, like, it became so popular. Like, there were lines literally around the block.
Oh, yeah.
People were checking in at 7 o'clock in the morning and then not getting served until, like, 5 p.m.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. I literally had no idea that people liked weed this much. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, from this, like, experience around the same time, some of my friends were like, let's take... Can I talk about drugs?
You can talk about drugs.
Okay. They were like, let's take some edibles and we'll go see Cats, the movie.
Both great ideas.
Right. So, and you know what? Honestly, my experience with weed has been very much like probably like smoking, being forced to smoke in some situation and then like immediately feeling like too high.
I'm trying to help you with that.
No, I know. I'm like, do you want me to move?
Yeah, just stay in front of it. That's all.
Okay. Did I move? I'm sorry.
No, well, you keep looking at me, turning your... I know. See, now you got to do this. Because you keep talking this way, like, not into the...
But I'll
like,
talk into it.
Into the mic.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry, radio
audience. You're doing great. I was trying to do it without you noticing.
I'm
then
sorry.
It happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
I ruined it. Oh, anyway.
You didn't ruin anything. We're all just hanging out. Okay.
So anyway, they gave me these, like, sweet tart edibles that are, like,
I have them. Okay. I have them.
Yeah. And then I was like, wait a minute.
They're 2 mil. Yeah.
I was like, maybe I love edibles because they gave me two. And then like an hour later, I had like two more. And then,
yeah,
like,
and 2 milligrams is a very small dose.
Right. And then a little bit later, I had like two more. And then I just like felt happy. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm into this.
Well, and that's the thing is like we talked about this on the show, too, is that people don't understand the frequency and efficacy of microdosing THC.
Right.
Everyone's just like, let's get super stoned. It's like, yeah, but actually in small doses, that's when it's best for most humans.
Right. And I think like most of my experience, like, you know, as pot's been illegal this whole time is like, you know, smoking like at somebody's house and then immediately being too high and like not into it.
And I'm sleepy and I don't know what to
do.
Right.
And I don't like it. I feel weird.
It's not your strain. It's not your brand. Just the idea that like now that it's legal, you can actually pick things that work for you in the dosage that works for you.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's like, it's not dissimilar from alcohol in that it's not for everyone.
Right.
And it's also not for everyone in equal doses.
Right.
Like there are people that'll drink a bottle of whiskey a day.
Right.
I know plenty of those people, right? Which is, but that's their life and they can handle it. But you're not going to go drink with that guy.
Right.
For the same reason that like there are most people have two glasses of wine and they go, I'm good. This is all I need. And the same thing happens with pot. Like you just need a smaller dose.
Yeah. I mean, I would recommend to anyone taking some of those sweet tarts and going to Cats.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
You're going to, if it's me, like I know exactly the sweet tarts you're talking about.
Yeah.
If it's me, I need like a handful to start.
Right.
And then we'll go from
there. I understand that. But like definitely don't see Cats without doing
that. Was it as terrible as we thought it was?
No, it was amazing.
Like, shut up.
Yeah.
You hate everything. You're the one who likes Cats.
Oh my God. I loved it. Well, first of all, like Cats on Broadway is like really where it's at. But Cats the movie.
You're not being ironic right now. You're
being
absolutely
100%.
Okay. So you're all about Cats on Broadway.
100%.
Wow.
Have you ever seen it?
No.
You would love it.
I mean, I've seen it without actually seeing it. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen all the numbers.
I mean, the music is great. And, like, part of the thing...
Debatable. Yeah.
Go ahead. The music is great.
Go ahead.
But, like, part of the thing of seeing it live is, you know, you have the band, you have the costumes, you have the dancing, you have the music. The movie, like, ruins a lot of that because it's, like, there's too much CGI. Who cares if a CGI cat can dance? You know, you don't care.
Yeah.
But like it live, I mean, I would recommend when it comes back, I'm going to reach out to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you
like, we're going to go.
We can go see Cats.
Yeah.
And I could write about it.
Yeah.
Or
you should write about
something
it.
Something out of nature.
Yeah.
All right. So you took some edibles. You went and saw Cats.
Yeah. It was great.
They walk you into the dispensary.
Yes.
Right.
Went to the dispensary. And I like had no idea there were all sorts of different ways to like smoke weed, obtain weed, do things with weed. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things. What I thought was the funniest was I was going to comment, but I also went, don't. She's like, so like these are 80 milligram. And you're like, oh, is that right? And I went, that will kill you. Don't. I'm yelling at my phone as I'm like on the couch. I'm like, don't do it, Adrian. Yeah. It'll kill you.
Yeah,
like, 80 milligrams will drop you dead.
Yeah. It was like some big gorilla chew.
Oh, I
something.
Know the gorilla chews.
Yeah. And some giant thing.
Yeah. So that's 40 of those sweet tarts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean.
And it won't kill you. It can't kill you. That's an important thing to be, but it will knock you the hell out.
Yeah. I mean, like, it definitely too much for me.
Yeah.
Did you see when I asked her, like, what she would give to Oprah? And she was going to give Oprah, like, resin with, like, a flamethrower.
Oh, you mean she was going to set up a dab rig for?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dab rig is where I don't go. That's like heroin users that never go into needles. I'm like, and I had this conversation with my partner, like, last week because I was getting a new device. And I was like, I'm not going to go to a dab rig where I have to like heat this up with a torch like a speed freak and then tap the thing. And it's a great way to get high, but it's just, it's a bridge too far.
Right.
It's really,
I was shocked that it was an option.
Yeah. It's like, it's like the guy who owns a 4 foot bong. You're like, come really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm definitely not, I have never been an enthusiast at that level. So
that's fair.
But I'll tell you what, that video got a lot of interaction.
Well, a lot of people have never seen,
people
love pot. People are excited about pot, but people have also like never seen legal dispensary before.
Right.
Like,
and it's, it was beautiful. I mean, that's the thing that was shocking to me. Like, it was like, clearly they had brought like an interior designer. Like, clearly people had thought this through. Like, they had beautiful displays. They had like nice workers, you know, like, it was beautiful.
It really was. It really is a nice space. The people are all really cool. Yeah. They worked out. They had just worked out. I watched them as they kind of beta tested the, if you will, the Genius Bar system of like, we're going to check you in here, then you order this. And then, and I was, at first I was annoyed. So I was like, man, I know, let me just walk up to, let me literally just walk to John and tell him what I need, you know? Right. But like, they go, no, we got to do this now.
I'm
like,
they get their iPads.
And it's good. I'm glad that they were doing it. And they did it the right way. A lot of those people that wait in line and stuff don't even live here. Like, they were getting calls. Sayo was getting calls. Yeah. The manager was getting calls like, hey, I'm calling from Virginia and I want to be the first person to buy legal weed in Illinois. You know, like, people are just, they're just cannabis enthusiasts around the country. And I think cannabis is great, but I'm not going to like cross state lines to wait in line for it. You know?
Too much.
Yeah. Little far.
No.
So did they give you anything to take home?
No. Well, first of all, I didn't know that it was a cash only business. So like, and it was very busy when we were there. Like when we were there, it was still when the lines were down the block and I would have had to like take money out of the ATM and do like a whole thing. And so we just kind of mimed that I was buying some stuff.
Gotcha.
But you know, I feel like if you are like a 40-year-old person in Chicago, basically like every other person you know has like a medical card and was already like procuring.
Right.
So it's like I felt like I had not missed an opportunity that I could come back.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, everyone's different. And I go in waves. Sometimes I always have a vape pen on me because I make my own cartridges and distillates. That's right. Because it's just way cheaper. I thought it was like, I don't want to be that guy who's making his own weed or making his own whatever in the basement. Yeah. And then I was like, it's 20% the cost. Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and figure out how to do this.
You're like, actually, I am that guy.
Actually, I am that guy. And now I only have to go to the dispensary like once a month. You
know, that's
nice. Which is great. Yeah. Which is really nice. Anyway, if you guys want to buy some, don't. I'm kidding. I don't deal. I do not deal. I do not sell. I do not. I stock stuffings. I stuff stockings. I just give them away at Christmas. Basically, it's just stocking stuffers. I'm just like, here, have carts. Here you go. Everyone get
high. Gotcha.
Great jobs. Gotcha. Great jobs. Anyway, let's move on. So the Chicago thing. Yeah. Chicago Magazine.
Yeah.
With your column there, like you, you're just, do you have all the space you want to write whatever the hell you want, or do they, are you working under editors are kind of pitching you stuff? Like, how does that work? I think you're the first person that we certainly had journalists in here, but like you're the first person I know that has like a staff writing job on a large publication.
Yeah. Well, and it's honestly, it's never something I thought that I would like have.
Sure.
It's super exciting for me. And like, I'm not a journalist.
Yep.
So to like have a, you know, full page column every month is like, what? So sort of like they'll pitch me things like they wanted me to go see this dating coach. So I did that. And then I'll pitch things and we kind of go back and forth. But I would not say I have the final say on what on what the activities are.
But are you allowed to pitch? Can you bring your own ideas?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. They want me to do that for sure.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So there's a give and take there.
It's, yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. But like they definitely, I mean, some of the stuff like is, you know, how magazines work, like a PR company like pitches them something and then we go and try it. That's how I did. Like I got a spa IV. So that's how that came about.
All right. We're going to walk through all of these.
Yeah. I can tell you about all the things I've done.
Yeah. We're doing it now. This is what's happening.
Okay.
So all right. Dating. What was it? A dating coach?
I saw a $15,000 dating coach.
Shut the hell up.
Wow.
Like a millionaire matchmaker kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what that
is. Like basically. Yeah, you've probably heard her on the radio before. I'd heard her on the radio, at least on, you know, on Kiss FM.
Kiss.
Yeah, Yeah. Death. And the Steve Harvey show. She's
What's her name?
Her name is Bella Gandhi. She's like Chicago's premier dating coach.
Okay. So she's, they send her to you. Of course, the magazine's paying for it.
With the, yeah, most of these things they just do like complimentary.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you're not, you didn't pay
$15,000. I did not pay
$15,000. I just want to make that very clear for everybody.
Correct.
As part of the story.
I did
so
not.
You didn't pay $15,000, but you saw a $15,000 dating
yes.
coach.
And
what's the process? Did they do the, did she do the whole run on you, or did she just give you advice? Like, what happened?
So we definitely did like a truncated
yeah.
meeting where we like met to kind of talk about my dating life and like what her advice to me
yeah.
would be. Like, she went through my Bumble profile, which she was definitely unimpressed with. She was like unhappy. I had this, like, I don't know if you saw this photo of me, but I had my kid and I were Beetlejuice and Lydia for Halloween.
I'm sure I probably saw it.
So that's where we were for Halloween. So on at the end of my Bumble, I have a picture of me dressed as Lydia. I look great. I had like the red wedding dress, the whole thing. I always close with a costume.
Right.
And she was like, no. She was like, people need to earn your story. And I was like, don't I want people to know that I'm funny and like into costumes? I mean, not all the time, but
right.
like, you know, I like a creative moment.
Sure.
She was like, no. Like, everything she told me was very like the rules from like the late 90s.
Right. Like someone wrote it in Cosmo and then someone optioned that into a book.
Yes.
And like, we've all accepted that this is a real thing.
Right. Like, you shouldn't sleep with anyone for 3 months. I was like, 3 months? I was like, I'm going to be 40 soon.
Yeah, three
like,
months.
3 months. What? Like, I could have a stroke before then. I mean, God.
I understand wanting to establish a connection with a human being before you hook up.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
We're all adults. But 3 months, like, arbitrary.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
3 months. Like, she wanted me to, like, talk to people on the phone before I went out with them. Like, did you ever have to do internet dating? You've been with your current
Well, we've been
for
together. Yeah,
time.
We were together. We've been together for 6 years and change. I was on Tinder for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Right around the time it came out.
Uh-huh.
Because I was writing a sketch about Tinder as a drinking game.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine was like, I want to get on Tinder because it had just come out. And I was like, all right, I'll make a profile. I'll do this with you.
Yeah.
I will sit, you know, it was my friend Rachel. Yeah. We're like sitting in her living room and she's just really sad. And she's like, I just need someone to do this with me. I will do this with you.
Right.
I will be the guy. So I make a profile. And of course, we're swiping left and right. And we're all playing the drinking game and taking shots. And I know that it's a fun time. And it's funny and nothing. And I'm like, cool, I'll write about that later.
Yeah.
But also, like, if a date comes along, great.
Yeah.
I think I was on there for like 2 weeks. I matched with a few people. I had one person that I actually didn't know, but I had seen in a show and was introduced to very like vaguely and was like, look, I'd really like to take you out. And this is weird for Tinder, but like, I'm going to write you an actual paragraph and stuff. And she was like, that's great. I would love to. This is like the best message I've ever gotten in this site. I'm like, okay, well, cool. We've actually met once. I hope that's not weird. She's like, no, not at all. Oh, I do remember meeting you. Yeah, let's hook up or let's meet up, whatever. And we could try to do it. And we were supposed to maybe try to run into each other like on a Sunday night after my regular show at the Mill. And then the next day,
late.
Right. But again, like I was running a nightclub show and she was improvising at the Annoyance like 2 doors down. So I was like, hey, well, when we get off, like we'll try to run into each other if you, whatever. We weren't able to connect. And the next Monday, Renee came into the Litmash and then I was like, what do you want? Do you want to get a drink? She's like, yeah, what about tomorrow? And I was like, okay. And now we're dating. And I was just like, delete the app.
Right. Done.
And then I went, oh no. I deleted the app.
Did you ever see her again?
I saw her once.
And she was
once you delete the app's gone. Like, I deleted the account. I did all the thing. And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then look her up on Facebook and go, hey, I'm now stalking you on Facebook to let you know that I don't want to go out with you anymore. Like, it just felt so wrong.
It's tough.
And I just kept it moving. But then I ran into her. I was doing a rehearsal in the downstairs space at the Annoyance Theater. And she was teaching a class or something. And I saw her that she recognized me. And, like, she dead-eyed me all the way down the hallway. And I was just like, just keep talking. Just keep talking to your cast. And, like, I could feel her eyes on me. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
But you're definitely in her stories, like in her you know, war stories of online dating.
Yeah, I think she just ended up, I think she ended up dating my first improv coach and then like just moved to California. So it's not a big deal.
Yeah, no,
it's not
cool.
a big deal. It's but cool. anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
You, so you, I've never, that was, that's my entirety of dating
yeah,
experience.
Yeah, no, so
and I'll tell you another story.
My point is that you haven't had to like really be in the trenches.
No, I missed that.
Culture.
I missed that whole thing.
It's tough.
I was on OkCupid for like a couple of weeks back in like the desktop days of it, but like that was really about as far as I ever went.
Yeah, it's a tough world out there. I think it's really changed dating a lot.
You know? Without a doubt.
Yeah, but just like in a lot of negative ways. So the dating coach was very much like, you know, there's three ways to meet people: online dating, through your friends, or like work or whatever, and then in real life, like at Chipotle.
Sure.
Like smiling at people at Chipotle.
It's called day gaming now.
Wow.
There's a tag for it. Go on.
No, I mean,
great. I just read that this morning on Medium or whatever. That, like there's a whole sect of pickup artists, you know, those wonderful humans.
I remember them.
Those great humans. They're writing books on day gaming. Like this is how you pick up women, not at a bar, not online, but like approaching them on the street.
Yeah.
You know, like during they're going to love that you're confident and like you're coming to them during the daytime. And I was like, yeah, people just don't want to be bothered during the day.
Yeah, I don't know. It's such a bad time for dating. And that was like the other thing I kind of wanted to talk to her about, which is like, you know, with like Me Too. And I do think there are like a lot of things going on with like straight men and straight women, like where it's like, how do you interact with each other? Like,
it's,
how should
the
you?
The rules are different. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, does anyone know what the rules are? Like,
no.
I don't know. But she was definitely like, no, the rules are not different. The rules are from like 1995 and we're going to stick to them. She was like, get your hair blown out, get some better headshots.
Do you think that it has something to do with scale?
What do you mean?
So if she charges $15,000 a consult or for a consult session,
well, it's for like
whatever.
A year.
Yeah, for a year.
That's
okay.
A
so
year
if she charges that kind of money, she's obviously working with a really upper end clientele. So
correct.
She's dealing with the super rich. She's dealing with a level of stratosphere that we don't see.
Well, and I should clarify that she is not a matchmaker. She will
not hook
you up with anyone.
Right.
She will only like give you feedback and coach you on your own pursuits.
So she's trying to hook up rich people with each other. To rich people. Like, she's trying to hook up models with rich men and rich divorcees with rich guys that aren't going to steal their money or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that... Here's the thing. I thought Bella was actually super lovely as a person, and I had a
great...
I'm not
dogging her.
No, I know. I mean, I had a great time with her, and it was very interesting to me in that way because, like, everything she said I fundamentally disagreed with, though I was like, I'm sure these things work in the exact sort of, like, setup that you're saying. Like, if I wanted to be in, like, River North and, like, find myself, like, a finance dude in his 50s, probably these are the, like,
that's the way to take. So the scale is a little bit different.
Right.
But you're out here in these streets trying to holler at live lit guys. Try to take home guys who have library cards. It's just, it's a different ballgame. They like Beetlejuice, you know?
Right. Correct.
Yeah, it is different.
Yes.
So did it end up working? Like, did you get a date right away?
No, so I never did. So when they first pitched me this idea, we had talked about doing it as a feature, and I wish we had, because then I would have, like, tried to do some of her things and, like, tried to go out on dates and, like, made a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my column's only, like, 500 words long, so there's not, like, that much space to, like, do all this stuff. But afterwards, I started dating somebody, not through any of her advice, and they want us to like come back and film with her again where she like gives me advice on like how I should like cultivate this relationship.
Are you still dating this person?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How does, is it a man?
It is.
Okay. I don't know. I don't like to, I don't assume that.
No,
about
you
people.
Don't have to. You shouldn't. It's 2020.
Well, and that's what I mean is like the number of human beings that like, you don't just date heterosexually now. Okay,
no,
cool.
Yeah.
Like the number of women I know who just kind of went, you know what sucks?
Gave it up.
Men kind of suck. I really like hanging out with other women. I can
give it a whirl.
I can give it a whirl and get used to the sexual side of being with women. And that is more fulfilling than any relationship I've been in.
Accurate.
And that's really like real talk. I'm seeing that. I know people that are doing that.
For sure. I've definitely considered it.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so it was a man. He's okay with this? Or does he know? Like, how did you two meet?
We met through friends.
Not an app. That's good.
Yeah,
that's usually how good hookups happen.
We
right?
also met, though, in a, like, he is getting divorced. He's, like, at the end of it now. But, like, it was definitely one of those kind of cliched situations where he had to be snapped up real quick, you know?
Yeah. he's hot on the market. We got it. You got to snap while the iron's hot. Yeah. So how long has that been going on?
A few months.
Going well?
A few months. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think so.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, you know, I've been single a long time, so it is definitely an adjustment.
Yeah,
to like
I can
open
see that.
myself up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
I'll tell you what, definitely been invited to a lot of game nights now.
Game night
is
a thing I have yet to do.
Wow.
We've never game night.
You've been coupled for a while. You can game night with us. We could do it.
I don't know if that's going to happen. But yeah, it sounds awesome. No, I'm so bad at like traditional, this is what couples do things. Like, we're going to go to the farmer's market.
I could see you being very competitive over a game.
Stupid competitive. Right. And that's a problem. Like, I don't always enjoy playing games because I'm very competitive and I hate losing. I hate losing.
Right.
And I'm bad at most things, but I'm really good at something. So I'm like, well, if I can't win, I'm just going to be pissed. So I'm not going to play. Not like I'm going to take my ball and go home and be weird about it. I'm like, just trust me. It's not going to be fun for me, and then it's not going to be fun for you. So I'm just going to chill.
Do you know your Enneagram?
Yeah. 4-3-1?
You're a 4? I could see you being a 4.
I think 3-4-1 or 4-3-1.
How were you tested?
Oh, I don't know. The guy who created the thing.
If you do it online, it's not always correct.
Yeah. I don't know. I do things just to check them out because when people are like, well, you know, Mercury didn't retrograde. And I'm like, you can bite me. I don't care about any of that. But if someone goes, you should check out this test just because it could be interesting.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
When I took the Myers-Briggs.
Right. I'm a big believer in the Enneagram. Yeah. So I was like, if you know your number,
I think it was like 4-3 something.
4 is like
3. I knew it was either a 3-4 or a 4-3.
4 is like the temperamental artist.
Shock me. Shock me.
Yeah.
Okay.
3 is the achiever. That's what I am.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Like sort of perfectionistic-y and
that's
like
me too,
image conscious. Yeah,
that sounds like me. But also I keep shooting myself in the foot. So that's
you are a little
4.
Grumpy sometimes.
Yeah.
Grumpy artist.
Yeah. I think it's yes.
Are you still doing the poems?
No. No.
You're done with them. You're so good at them.
It's gone. It's dead.
Wow.
I mean, I still occasionally.
You think it'll come back?
No. Well, I write poems. I mean, I'm mostly just writing music now, which is where I started. And then I realized that I could make way more money writing poems than music.
Which is so weird.
It's so weird to say out loud, but it's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, well, I'm having more success. I'm getting more paid gigs and I'm getting more opportunities doing spoken word poetry. So I just was like, I just naturally kind of gravitated to that and stopped playing music. And then over time, like, you know, that was my life. I did that I put poet on my tax return for like a decade, you know? And then at some point I had a falling out with some things in the scene. And I just went like,
I remember that going down.
Yeah. I'm just like, I don't really enjoy poetry anymore. Like I like the art form, but like the scene and the reading it and the having to go to poetry readings, which is like a fate worse than death.
Well, has that scene bubble burst as well? Is it kind of over?
Yeah. Well, there was a big bubble in about 13, 14, in about 13. And then it burst because there was some insider drama.
Right.
And then from that ash, I rose. And then there was kind of like my camp, the slam camp, the Chicago Slamworks camp, that whole crew, like the Northside camp was kind of what I was overseeing. And then there was like, you know, the youth. So basically split into like adults that are doing stuff and then youth that are kind of more centered around young Chicago authors. And then things have splintered from there. So when I left Chicago Slamworks and that company went out, then everybody was just like, it's the Wild West and no one has an idea. Because what it came down to is that most people are just bad producers. Most people are bad at organizing people. They're bad at producing shows.
Yeah.
And they're bad at just generally drawing an audience. So there were only a few of us that were good at that.
Well, and it's almost like a little bit thankless after a while.
Absolutely.
At least I've seen with like all my friends who produce shows that, you know, if you do it well, it takes a lot of effort to like get people there, get good performers, like be good hosts, like do the whole thing. And then like you don't really make that much money, if any. You know,
not a ton.
And then the return on investment becomes cheap. It just gets less because you're like, well, I know I can do this. And now I've done it 50 times.
And the best thing people can do is not notice.
Yeah.
Like you're killing it if no one notices that you're producing a show.
Or they're just like, wow, this is a great show.
Oh, yeah, it's a great show. I didn't even think about you producing it. It's like, that's how you're doing great.
But I can definitely tell the bubble has burst because I used to do like one or two shows a month.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be at like.
Oh, yeah. A couple a week.
Like all the time, seeing all the people, like doing all the things. Yeah, it's out there.
It's great. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to go to, you know, you just go to stuff because you have to be a part of the scene, because if you don't get seen, then you don't get booked to read 1,000 words on a microphone for 20 people or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I used to love it. And now I'm like, I'm booked in a few shows. And I have, I kind of stopped because I'm writing a novel. And I was like, you know, I just have to like,
No, I said, ooh.
So I was like, you know, I've got to prioritize like what I'm doing.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's interesting. To me, the prioritizing is a big deal. And when I came to the realization of like, I don't really like, I didn't like going to poetry readings. It was just my job.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't enjoy it. Right. I didn't enjoy hosting an open mic, listening to 12 terrible poems and then one or two good ones, you know,
it's just
so I could do 20 minutes and take a paycheck. Like, it was fine. I enjoyed it. It was worthwhile. I'm not trying to make light of it, but trying to reintegrate into that scene is just like, there's too much here I don't like.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
The juice ain't worth the squeeze anymore.
For sure. But you're a beautiful performer.
Thank you. It's really nice of you to say.
It's true. Anytime I've been in a show with you, I've had a great time.
That's good.
Well,
that's
and you're, nice. I mean, you're a good performer.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You talk about, sometimes you still feel like, no one thinks you're any good. or like, I always thought, like, for a long time, I was very aware, or I was very in my head about, like, people are only nice to me because I have access to all the best shows.
Oh, like that you could get booked on them.
I give out, or I'm connected to the most money. I have the shows with the biggest crowds,
right.
Or I'm connected to those shows anyway.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, people are nice to me for that reason.
Yeah.
And that became really hard. It was like, I would go to an open mic just to be there to scout, not to scout, but like just to do some FaceTime or, you know, what, plug something. And then there would be like 20 people who would come up to me and just be like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I don't want to talk to 20 strangers right now. And I get that I'm not famous, but you're like in that scene. I felt like people just wanted too much from me.
Yeah, like every time I have a column come out or like video content, I get strangers that like reach out to me on like either through my website or like Facebook or Instagram and just say the weirdest shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wrote, oh, sorry.
You keep doing it.
Yeah.
It's not that big
sorry.
Of a deal. I'm not going to be too mad.
There's not a button.
there is, but I'm not in front of it. So there.
But like, I wrote an essay for Chicago Magazine about raising a kid with anxiety in the city,
mm-hmm.
and then I had like men reaching out to me on Facebook, like trying to connect with me to like go out with me.
Oh yeah,
like referencing this article.
Like nothing turns a dude on faster than hearing about kids. You know,
it was very strange. And like one of the last things I did was I laid on this like crystal mat. And it's supposed to have like healing properties. And obviously I was like, I don't know if this worked.
Yeah.
And someone just emailed me today and was like, you should have done more research. This crystal mat has changed my life.
I will put it on your back.
Yeah. And like, she was like, you need to be laying on it for an hour. And and my reaction was like, oh, I didn't know the new issue was out. I was like... But it is a very strange world that we live in where like everybody needs to be heard at all times.
We created that.
Yeah.
It used to be like only certain people got heard.
Yeah.
And they usually were not always people you liked, but there was a level of meritocracy about it, right? There was this level of the best writers get the best whatever. The people who speak the best get the best radio shows. And it was a selected group. It was a curated world. And now it's just like everyone's opinion exists. And there's so many writers that are trying to get published that like Medium is just over. It's just choked with like,
it's
this, these like seem like competent articles. But if I read the 15th, how to do something with your life thing, I'm just going to go crazy.
Yeah. And you know what? I've been in like pursuing writing since like 2005.
Sure.
And this is, you know, it's 2020. This is my first time having like a paid gig. Mm-hmm. Writing something, you know, like that's reliable, that happens every month or whatever, and like other opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just funny because like people, I think, you know, stuff just happens. And I'm like, you know, I've been doing stuff for like 15 years to even get to a place where like,
oh, yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. It took me 15 years to be an overnight success.
Exactly.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm not even an overnight success.
And none of us are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to have any level of success.
Yeah. Yeah, people are like, you have a radio show? That's amazing. Like, if you have any idea how unglamorous this is sometimes.
I don't know. I feel very glamorous.
I mean,
I love
your
space.
It's a great,
it's very
thank
cool.
you.
Looks
thank
like
you.
Artists hang out here for sure.
A lot of artists hang out here. It's a really cool, I mean, it's a cool space. I'm very proud of it in that way. But it's not like, they're like, you have a radio show? I go, they're way easier to get than they used to be. Like, let me make that very clear.
But anyway, just continuing to work in the arts is impressive.
Sure.
I mean, you've like gone through a whole thing where you've like redefined yourself.
I'm trying. Yeah. I'm still like, I'm back to working in service industry.
Yeah.
not necessarily like as a waiter or anything anymore, but like, you know, a little bit different. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what I'm doing, which is a real like dumb thing to say at 36 years old. Like, I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing.
I mean, is it, I think on an artist path, it's like, that's always like the thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have a full-time job because like I have a child.
Yeah. Those two things kind of work.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I have to, but I would like to be writing full-time or doing.
Getting cuddled full-time.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned that off air and this is how I'm bringing it up.
Yes.
So you went to was it a professional cuddler or a cuddle party?
No, it wasn't a cuddle party. It was a professional cuddler.
Just somebody who spoons you for money.
Down in her basement.
Is that the name of the company?
That wasn't the name of her company.
Oh, have you tried Down in Her Basement?
Yeah.
DownInHerBasement.com. Yeah, it really should.
Yeah.
Down in Her Basement's the different service. Ah, yes. Come on.
Boom.
All right, boom. Hi-yo. So, professional cuddler. So, you went and cuddled.
Yes.
And this is why you were considering dating women for a while.
No.
Jokes. No. So, you went and talk me through that experience. Like, just tell me the story.
Yeah. I mean, so, it's funny because, so, when I do these things, a lot of times I have, like, my videographer with me. So, it's like, we're, like, making content. So, I can't tell you that this was, like, a completely authentic experience of cuddling, because I'm definitely in my mind thinking, like, okay, well, like, what five things do we need to do to get this over with so we can, like, make the content?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, one thing I did learn about is that it's a lot about like consent and like,
is this okay? Is it?
Yeah. So I think in that sense, it's an interesting exercise if you are like a woman and have a difficult time like talking about what is or is not okay.
Sure.
And like,
or a man too.
Or a man. Like, I think she very much is about that. It's about consent and like talking about consent and all these things. Then she had some cards where you could see different cuddling positions. At one point she mounted my back.
Is it called the Cuddle Sutra?
Obviously it should be. I don't think it is.
She really needs to call me about marketing. This is really what needs to happen. Like, they need to call me about branding.
They really
Let's
do.
Open the Cuddle Sutra. Go on.
Yeah. I mean, like, she mounted me at one point.
Of all the sentences, that was not what I expected at all. I was like, the Cuddle Sutra. Aren't I clever? Yeah, she mounted me. Like,
she
what?
Did.
Just happened in my life. So when you said mounted, like full mount, like you were on your back and she like climbed on top of you, astride?
She laid, so I laid on my stomach.
Yeah.
And then she kind of like rolled on top of me. So we were like back to back.
Oh, back to back.
And then she put like her feet on top of my feet and started doing this like bicycling situation.
Did you like it though?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right. I'm just asking.
No, I mean, I like her. She was super nice. I mean, that's the other thing that's cool about this gig is like, I just go around and do things in Chicago.
Sure.
And I meet a lot of really cool people, and like, I would never want to be a cuddler, and I didn't necessarily want to be cuddled, but like, she was great.
Yeah.
She was super fun. She was cool to meet. And, you know, in my head, I was like, I guess there's a lot of like, maybe people who need to be held by this chick.
Some people need more. Are you the type of person that needs a lot of physical contact?
I mean, my feeling about cuddling was like, I would pay to get a massage.
But there's an end game in a massage.
Right. Like, I would rather like pay someone, know what the rules are, and then like, I'm going to feel good after. I'm going to be all stretched out.
Sure. So, I mean, it's not for you, but like, some people really need a lot of physical contact, physical reinforcement, vocal. Like, some people need that. Like, my partner really is just like touchy, touchy, touchy. And I am like, I grew up in a house of like, don't look at me.
Right.
Don't look each other in the eye. No one touches anyone. We don't say I love you.
Who are you?
We don't look at each other. We don't have feelings. We go to church. We don't talk about God. I had a very confusing house I grew up in.
Clearly.
Like, not a bad house, but like very confusing if you're a person with bigger emotions than, say, everyone that you know.
Right.
It was very confusing. So like, because of that, when people touch me, I'm like, I don't like it.
Right.
I only associate touch with either athletics, like, headbutts, high fives. I either associate touch with that or with sex, and that's it. So like, affectionate.
Well, she could like probably help you.
Right, but I don't necessarily know that I want to go to a cuddlist. Also, you know, I don't know.
Well, she could probably help you break down those walls.
That's exactly what I need, is to pay someone to cuddle with me.
She did say that men, women are touch privileged and men are touch deprived.
I would say that's probably true.
Yeah, because women touch their friends, they touch their children, they, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's probably true.
Yeah.
All right. So you and your mystery guy didn't do the back-to-back bicycle?
No.
You didn't like learn things and take it home, be like, I might be into that with my partner, but not so much?
No.
No? Okay.
No. I mean, you know, I didn't really need that much cuddling, like explanations. I feel like I kind of get it.
So it didn't. Yeah. It just did nothing for you?
No. I mean, she had a whole setup. She had this couch that was like a bed. I mean, like, you know, I don't have like that need, but I do think like it sounds like there are a lot of people who do, and this is like a legit service mm-hmm. for that.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that. I could totally see that. I also know that like I have I know enough people, enough weirdos that if are, because I know all weirdos. Like, right. I know a few straight laced people, but they're mostly all just weirdos. Yeah. So like I could call some weirdos and just be like, hey, do you want to cuddle?
Yeah.
Or like, you don't know me, but or we met at the show once. I'm not a creep.
Can you hold me?
Can you hold me?
Yeah, there's just stuff like that was weird. I mean, I did this spa IV. I told you about
that. Oh, yeah. I want to get to that. Spa IV.
Yeah. So you can go and you can get an IV filled with like vitamins, or they claim it's filled with vitamins.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to like, you know, give you energy or like brain health or like vitamin C or whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's amazing to me. It was like $180.
Yeah.
That anyone would like willingly get an IV and pay money for it.
That I get, honestly. Oh. Because, well, I like, all right, here's a fun story. So I was doing a show. I was directing this show. I think it was maybe the second week we were running. I had one of my players was sick all week. He was just like, dude, I've been sick all week. I'm not feeling terrific, but I feel like I'm good for the show. And also you get stage health. You know what stage health. Like you could feel like death, but when you're on the stage, you're fine.
You're doing it.
Just once you're in it, you're in it. So he gets up there and we get the show's off and running. Opening number happens. Song is, ooh, lights come up. Everything's fine. I go look to my notes. I'm in the booth with my stage manager. I look to the right and she's like, JW. And I'm like, what? And I look over. I was like, will you stop bugging? And I thought like she was trying to make a joke or something of that nature. And I look at the stage and Frank Eam is in the back row and he has collapsed.
I was going to say he's down.
And he's down. And the whole, and there's like, what? And it, of course, like this is, it felt like 25 minutes. Yeah. It was 4 seconds. Yes. But I was like, what? Okay. I was like, pull the lights up, hit the house lights. And I like, and it's upstairs, it's an upstairs booth. So I'm like running down the catwalk and then down the stairs, then through the theater. Okay, folks, this is not part of the show. So I'll make it really clear. And then everyone wouldn't get out of the, everyone was still seated. Like, cause it was an almost, it was a decently full room. Like, and everyone was still seated as I'm like trying to, you know, as I'm doing all the things I know how to do in like first aid and all the things I learned in health class about CPR and stuff that wasn't necessary, but I was like, check his vitals, dude. meanwhile, they won't leave. And I was like, seriously, it is not part of the show.
We're not starting again.
Yeah, and I led the look, and I looked right at my friend Tegan, who was in a couple weeks ago, and I was just like, get everyone out of this room. Like, just get them out of here and have them wait for us in the lobby while we figure this out. So we wait for him in the lobby, and we go, blah, blah, blah. You know, of course, he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to get in an ambulance. He does, but he's, like, completely unresponsive. He can't sit up. He's sweating profusely. Right. They're big issues. He won't get in an ambulance, but then we have to, of course, bring an ambulance in. We take him out of the whole thing. We have to do the deal. So I go to the hospital with him. We all are sitting in the waiting room. I go back with him, and I'm sitting just being the dad, the big brother, the whatever. And he's like, don't let him put an IV in my arm. Don't let him do that. And I was like, what?
Well, like, that's the time for an IV.
But that's what I'm getting at is he's just like, no, I got these crystals in my bag because he's, you know, one of those types. And I was like, Frankie, if you don't put that IV in your arm and get those crystals off your chest, I'm going to headbutt you myself. Like, I will kill you in this hospital. So, of course, they put the IV in him and then he's fine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, an IV can do things. Like, did you ever see, like, people that used to do the best way to cure a hangover is actually, like, a B12 IV.
Oh, yeah.
Which just, like, gets you back.
It's not that I don't believe in IVs.
Yeah.
I don't believe, like, in me spending $180 to go to, like, a med spa.
Oh, sure.
To get, like, an energy IV that then I didn't really, I was like, did it do anything? I still don't know.
Did you feel better? No, not really.
No.
I think if I've had enough hangovers in my life that if someone were to text me and go like, hey, if you pay me $180, I'll come over to your house and cure this right now.
Done.
I'm like, done.
Yeah.
Take my credit card.
Yeah.
Come in every week. Yes. You're on retainer now.
I think a hangover IV is totally legit.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Or like if you're medically ill, but not, we're not going to pump like dilithium crystal.
Yeah. I just think, you know, for just funsies. For like glowing skin, I'm it seems like a lot.
Look, rich people got to spend money somewhere.
They really do.
They got to go somewhere with
it.
And the thing is, the luxury rich people market is a huge market.
Yeah. You know what I just did was I went to a workout. Do you watch The Bachelor?
I'm not currently, but you're I might. when I'm in depressive cycles, I totally get drawn to dating TV. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Well, maybe did you ever watch The Bachelorette with Rachel?
No, no. I just recently, it started with me because a friend of mine was watching, a friend of mine runs a Bachelor podcast.
Yeah.
Two of my friends, actually, have a Bachelor podcast.
Which, what's it called? You got to plug it
Oh,
now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's called Petals for Pricks.
Okay.
It's Kelsey Huff and Jonah Jerkins.
You know, I know Kelsey.
Yeah, of course. So I didn't want to do things. So they were talking about it. And I was like, well, here are my friends. They started a podcast about this show. I'll watch the show just to see what the hell they're talking about. And then I kind of got into it because it was like, what a shit show. I did it to myself. But like, what an absolute garbage fire this is.
Because
I only saw Bachelor in Paradise. And I was like, this is garbage fire. Yeah. I love it. Which led to me like becoming way into Temptation Island. Or not Temptation Island, Love Island, the British UK, not this new bullshit, the old one, the original one. So I've not watched a ton of The Bachelor, but I have seen it. Go on.
Yeah. Well, so I went and did like a workout with one of the Bachelor finalists.
Which one?
Peter Krause. He was a Bachelorette. I think he was the final two with Bachelorette Rachel.
I don't know the names.
He's super hot. So we went to like the W Lakeshore and like in their event room with like, you know, 360 views of the lake and the city, did this like boot camp with this like Bachelor influencer.
Was he doing it with you or was he the trainer?
He was the trainer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you get the impression like you could have gotten in there or is it just like there's a whole different stratosphere?
So like, could I have dated him?
I'm just like, yo, if you would put the moves on him, if you would put a little work in, do you think you could have?
I think this is definitely an interesting question.
That's why I'm asking.
Because part of his shtick, for all our listeners that know Peter Krause from the Bachelorette universe, part of his shtick is he's like a regular dude and he still lives in like Madison, where like all the other, you know, people live in like Los Angeles and are like really trying to be influencers, etc. So his whole thing is that he's like a regular guy. So he was not a regular guy. He was like, first of all, he was extremely attractive. Fine. But like, I also thought he knew I was there. He knew I was going to write this column.
Yeah.
And I definitely felt like I was like lobbying him some like jokes.
Yeah.
Like I felt like I was like setting him up to help me create good content about him.
Of course.
And he was just like not having it.
You
like,
heard it I here first. Like, Peter Krause doesn't do bits.
Yeah. No, I was like, would I have gotten the group date rose? And he was like, no.
What?
It's like, I mean, I was literally like, dude, you tell the reporter, yes, what are you talking about? And then at some point he like let it slip that he didn't let it slip. He brought it up and told me that he was on Raya, which is like the celebrity dating app.
Oh, I've heard about this. Yeah, it's like the you have to get invited and like you have to be rich. And you either have to be super rich or a celebrity.
Yes.
And then the women have to get vetted or something like that. Okay, go on.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, wow, we've really taken a turn then. You know, like because he like told me all this information himself. And I brought my friend Heather with me. And like when we left, I said to my videographer, who is adorable, I was like, did you think he was sort of a douche? And he was like, I don't know. Aren't all straight men like that? Anyway.
Not all,
the point
but
is,
most.
Is I definitely got a vibe that I thought he was like way above.
He thought he was hot business.
Yeah.
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 Well, that'll happen. Like you're on TV. Yeah.
I mean,
you're obviously
years
a good looking, successful person. Yeah. But like people, you know, people are just throwing it at him all the time. Like everyone's throwing attention at him. Everybody's asking him for things. Yeah. All the women want to sleep with him. And you kind of like it's easy to get in your head about stuff.
Yeah. And then it sounds like you have some experience with this.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I'm not bad looking for a writer, you know. Yeah. So there was a time where in certain worlds, and like just with success, like you're talking about when you have articles go out, all of a sudden people are reaching out to you and you get all this attention and stuff. Yeah. So like on the scale of the most popular show on TV.
Yeah.
Like the amount of humans that he must get near him.
Yes.
I'm sure like he's created like a buffer around himself.
Yeah.
And inside that buffer, it's just like an echo chamber of, aren't you awesome? You deserve this.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. I haven't written the column yet. I need to work on it because I had like a kind of a lot of thoughts about like influencing and like what it means. And, you know, I mean, literally everyone who was at this workout was really there just for like the meet and greet at the end to like get their picture taken.
Right.
And then you paid like $45 to like do a little boot camp and get your picture taken. I mean, I only pay for drag queens if I'm going to do a meet and greet. Like,
Who's your favorite drag queen?
Alyssa Edwards.
Okay.
Obviously. What? Who's yours?
Shea Coulee.
That's a good one.
I spent my birthday with Shea, not knowing who Shea was.
Wow.
We were hanging out at Queen all night. Like, we hung all night. It was me and him and a couple and a few other, and we were all just hanging out all night.
Yeah.
And like, oh, Shay's like the most amazing drag queen you'll ever see. Going to be hugely famous. And I'm like, cool. We're all just on this roof doing ecstasy or whatever.
Yeah.
And then like 2 days later, that season
of Drag Race
dropped. And I was like, oh, also the sweetest human. Like wonderfully nice and decent. Didn't need to be, but like was super nice to me all night long.
I believe it.
Didn't even know it was my birthday.
Love drag queens.
Yeah. Awesome.
I mean, now I know that I will pay $50 to stand to see Shay. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Drag queens, not bachelor influencers.
Not bachelor influencers. Would you be on the show if you could?
The Bachelor?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I think I'd be amazing on The Bachelor.
Yeah, but I mean, as a contestant or as The Bachelorette?
Either. I think I'd be amazing. I'm so old. I'm a little chubby. Like, I'm funny.
Uh-huh.
I think I would be like top. I mean, I would be so opposite of like everything they do that, I mean, I would be a bachelorette for the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but there's certain things where you're like, I'm going to ruin this for everyone.
Right.
Because I'm clearly not the same cloth.
Right.
Well, it's like even I was thinking about, so I just had a friend on The Voice and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know, I might be able, like, I think that it's possible that I would, in theory, be able to pass a blind audition on The Voice. Right. I'm just saying that.
You should do it.
Here's the thing. I probably, there's no way they would take me.
Why?
Because I wouldn't make it out of the background check stage.
What
like,
do you
I would
mean?
Have to delete all of the work I have that's about, like, doing drugs and being a Satanist. Like, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. People get disqualified for that all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and you're, like, a little old, too, but not old enough.
Yeah, I'm not like, oh, look, he's old and he's getting it done. He's just like,
right,
I'm the
like,
forgettable
oh,
age.
It's a second chance for JW. Nope. And, like, you're not young enough to be, like, molded. So you're in a
I'm
weird
just,
spot.
Yeah, I'm in a weird spot. I wouldn't make it out of the thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You would probably be great, but who knows if you would ever get selected, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't think I'm their person. I'm also, like, so old. the girls are, like, 23.
Right.
You know? I
have
way too much sense.
Okay, so if you were the Bachelorette, though. But if you were the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
How would that go? Like, what would you be looking for? Like, you could smell. You've got a BS detector, obviously, because you've also seen the show. So, you've got that kind of hindsight.
Yeah.
Because you can always tell when you see the show and you're like, oh, this person knows what to do to get on camera and that kind of stuff. Like, so if you're the person in charge, you're the picker, what are you looking for? What do you do? What are the group dates?
Oh, wow. That's a big question.
Let's just dream a little. Take me through.
That's a big question. I mean, like, I'm always looking for, like, a funny guy.
Of course.
Obviously. And I'm always looking for a guy who can, like, talk about things in an interesting way, which most men, that's not, like, always their top skill.
You don't say.
Yeah. And I'm looking for, like, a feminist man. So basically, I think, like, none of the men that are on.
Right. I feel like the dudes are generally better than the women, though. And I don't mean that in a sexist way, but,
like, they pick women to act really catty and crazy.
And they generally select women more on the physical than anything else. But, like, when I have seen the show, and I've not spent a ton of time with it, but I've seen it enough to know that, like, there's always a few dudes you're like, that dude seems cool.
Yeah. I mean, like, my group date is, like, everybody reads The Bell Jar. And comes back with, like, a one-page reaction, you know, some, like, top key points they want to talk through with me.
Or, like, they have to do a play?
Yes.
What if they had to write a scene as a group?
100% they have to do that.
All right. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be good. What if they all had to, like, do...
They also have to do something with all my gay friends at some point, you know? Like, all my gay friends come in and, like, have to talk to them and decide, like, if they can be in our world.
Oh, yeah. Like, they sit at a table with Jeremy.
Yeah.
At full 100% Jeremy.
100%.
Like, all the way pedal down Jeremy Owens, and, like, you just have to survive 5 minutes with Jeremy.
Correct.
And I mean that in the most loving way, Jeremy, if you're listening.
But it's like, you know, there's, like, it's on a stage. It's dark. There's a spotlight.
Oh.
You know, it's like a hazing situation.
They sit
down,
and there is a panel of drag queens, and they just read the shit out of these guys.
Correct.
They just sit and ruin your life, and if you can make it to the end without crying...
They can still go out with me.
Or if you cry right away and you don't hide your tears, then you exist.
Crying is probably, like, the way to get through.
Yeah, actually, as soon as I said it, I realized. Right.
Like, get an emotion, get in touch with something.
So if they can get to the end, crying is okay, but if they react, like, aggressively.
Yeah, no, out.
No, out.
No, out.
I don't know. I don't know if I could handle it. I don't think I could handle it.
Yeah, there should definitely be a drag queen appreciation moment. Like, I'm definitely looking for somebody who spent some time with RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see the RuPaul... RuPaul does the reading at the library, at the children's
library.
SNL? On
SNL? I haven't watched it yet. I need to. Was it amazing?
That whole episode was hit and miss, as most of them are, right? There are very few where it's like, ooh, that was good all the way through. Very few. But that one, there was one sketch in particular where RuPaul does like a drag queen reading, which is becoming a common thing at libraries, which is cool.
Oh, yeah. Women and Children First has like a drag queen reading every weekend. So people should check it out.
So it's a drag queen reading.
Yeah.
But Ru is not in drag.
Right.
Ru is just reading the characters of the book.
Yeah.
Not reading the book. Just like, look at Eloise, you dumb little mom. Look at you in your little shorts.
That's amazing.
Sorry to ruin the conceit, but yeah, it's worth seeing.
I should probably also, for my group date, I would make them do something with my kid, and I'd let him design it. Because he would come up with his own, I'm sure, very like in-depth hazing of any.
I'm picturing like an emotional Home Alone kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like it's just see? He's in the room.
Yeah, he would come up with something like very in-depth for people to have to get through.
This is something I would, if I had money, I would finance this. I'm not kidding.
Oh my God, it would be so good. Yeah.
What would it be? Because we couldn't use The Bachelorette. Like,
The Old Bachelorette.
The Old Bachelorette.
I mean, honestly, I think
the original
Bachelor. America's Bachelorette. Yeah.
Bachelorette that you can relate to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't want to see a 40-year-old single mother, a little chubby, find love on TV?
Yeah.
Everybody.
You're the people's champion.
I agree.
The people's hoe.
And like, who are the men showing up for this gal, you know?
It's all just like divorced dads.
Right.
Guys that like, right. I got married way too young, right. But I'm actually nice. I just married the wrong person.
Exactly.
I just left the bowling alley I've been working in. I want to go to the city and read books.
Exactly.
And that could be your new man.
That's my guy.
Hey, where did, so hose.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that my friends and I were the only ones that used HEAUX as the way to spell hose.
Apparently not.
Right. But that was like the joke that we had for years. So when I saw that you have a thing called hose, which we're going to get into in a second, I was like, did I make that joke in front of Aiden? Did she steal that joke from me?
Definitely not.
I'm not saying, obviously parallel thought exists. I'm just like, that was the first thing I thought. Was like, wait a minute. Did I tell her that she could use that?
I think you probably got it from like gay culture, which is where we also got it.
Oh, I don't know. We started using it. I got it from my friend Roger 10 years ago. So it could have been.
Well,
who knows?
Hose has been around for a while.
Of course. I'm just saying.
I mean our website.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying it's like obviously it's a meme in the traditional sense.
Correct.
And it's a packet of information that gets carried from people, person to person. So tell me about hose. Tell me about hose.
You know what? Honestly, I love hose. And I think we're like not entirely sure. It's similar with like producing shows. It's like, you know, when Jeremy and I started it, the plan was always like, as long as it's fun, we're going to do it. You know, we're fun. We're interested in it. We're going to do it. And now we're kind of in a place where like he's writing his own solo show. It's going to be this summer, which is super exciting.
Are you directing it?
No, he's got like real theater people.
I just thought it'd be funny if you did.
Yeah, no, it would be, but yeah, I mean, he is. Right. He's like a theater person.
Right.
You know, I'm writing this book and writing for Chicago Magazine. We both work full time, and so it's like we got into this place where we're like, well, it's a great platform. We have great readership, but like, what do you do? You know, like, how much can you write for it? Like, how much, you know, like editing, like finding people to write for it. Like, I don't know. You know, we're just at like a weird point, like we don't know.
So I mean,
like,
how do you categorize it? Is it a magazine, a blog, like what do you call it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we think of it as like kind of like a blog, like a pop culture blog.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's just a bunch of people writing about pop culture that are.
It's always like smart people writing about pop culture from like a feminist or LGBT perspective.
Yeah, so it's like smart woke people writing about trash, basically.
Correct.
Oh,
that's exactly it.
That's so in your lane.
Yeah.
It's your brand.
Yeah. And I love it when we're doing it. It's just, it's hard to do all the things at once.
Yeah. There are a million things I would like to do that's just like, man, the amount of energy there.
Yeah. And like, because I'm an Enneagram 3, for all the Enneagram 3s out there.
What up, 3s?
I have a hard time either being like all in or, like, I'm like, it either needs to be great or we need to like move
on.
I have a very hard time being in this like kind of middle space where we both like want to have it and want to work on it, but like when it's convenient.
Yeah. So, I mean, you and I think are probably similar in that, like, I need the project to either be my project and I have complete control over it.
Yeah.
And I'm willing for it to suck because I have complete control over it and it's up to me. So I'm either that or it's like I want to be in a project that is working and magical right away. And if not, it can piss off. I'm not willing to learn that this thing is good if it's not mine. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think the most interesting thing about Hose, for like, if there are people out listening to this show that are like wanting to be creatives or wanting to work on things, is it's really shown me just like everything is really just like step by step. Mm-hmm. You know, I started like writing for Hose, writing about pop culture, like kind of honing like an internet voice. And then like Chicago Magazine like asked me to write some stuff because I was like...
Is that how they found you? It was through Hose?
No, they found me through like the editor knows somebody that I know.
Gotcha. Okay.
But still that writing I have been doing, like, I think set the kind of stage for me to be like I took all my sorority sisters to like a meditation place and we did like a review on it, you know, like I had done some stuff like on my own. So I do think, and like Jeremy too, I think like we definitely used it as like a platform to like grow as writers or like things that we were doing. What your face is like, you have something to say.
Yep.
Let's hear it.
No, just the I got a little hung up. Because you talked about, like, you were not an interesting person, so you were, like, 30.
Yes.
Your words, right? Or exactly, I don't remember exactly how you phrased it. But it was, then you were like, so I took my sorority sisters to it, and I'm like, oh, Christ. I'm so glad that we didn't meet 10 years ago. I wouldn't have liked you. Yeah, okay. So you took your sorority sisters.
You love my sorority sisters.
I'm sure they're fine.
They all saw you perform when we performed together at Claire's Christmas show.
Claire's Christmas show.
Yeah, they loved you.
What was Claire's Christmas show?
Funny Ha Ha.
Oh, Claire's Olkey show. Yeah. Yeah.
They all loved you.
Oh, that's nice.
So yeah, the crowd, so now you like them, don't you? Evening.
Yes. No, I have no problem with people because they were whatever, but I'm like, there's a I watched The Bachelor and I've got a sorority. And you know, like I would have been like, there's nothing we would have connected on. But now that like you're, you know, people change.
Yeah.
If you had met me 10 years ago, I was a real bag of garbage 10 years ago.
Well, I must have met you like 8 years ago.
Yeah, it was about then. Yeah. That sounds about right.
So you're like sort of garbage.
Different kind of garbage. Different kind of garbage. Well, when we met right in between the time I remember when we met. I remember when we met. It was right after I had broken up with somebody I was with for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in like a real not great version of myself. And then that was right before Renee and I got together. So when we met was right around the time I would have been on Tinder for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So just for context. Yeah. Yeah. So I definitely wasn't the best human being. I was not the best version of myself that you met.
I mean, I liked you.
No, that's nice. No, good.
You're good.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Good to know. Thanks for approving, Mom. all right. So what's next? Like, what is the dream? If you had the dream Chicago article, like if you had a full layout.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Well, we have been talking about some ideas. I don't know if I'm supposed to say what they are.
That's okay.
So, but we are talking about some features for me to write.
Yeah.
Which would be cool. And also, like, sort of, I mean, the cool thing about it is that, like, again, I'm not like a journalist. I didn't go to journalism school.
Sure.
I went to creative writing school. So it's like, I don't really have any idea what I'm doing. But my editor is, like, really good at kind of helping me along, and they're like interested enough, I guess, in me to like do that, which is awesome.
That's great.
It's super exciting.
That's awesome.
Never thought it would happen to me.
Yeah. I do want to touch real briefly before we have to head out of here. You have so many great stories and have written so many fun essays. Will you talk us through the relationship with your mother or not your relationship necessarily? Like, please, will you dissect the entirety of your relationship with your mother? No. Will you explain to me how you phrased it when I said, will you tell you
he
about
just wants me to tell you that my mom lives half the year in a lesbian retirement commune.
Right.
That's
and
what
the
he
word
wants
commune
to say.
Is the thing. But you've got so many good, will you give me just a couple little, like, this funny things?
About the lesbian retirement commune? I think I have one joke that I think that you're thinking about.
Oh, am I?
Which is that all of the women look like Roger Ebert.
That's not what I was thinking. No. That's mean.
I know, right? This is
that's a read.
I don't think this is like the wokest.
No. I'm just saying, like,
what do you want to know?
What is it? How did she end up there? That sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, she
wasn't out when
purpose.
You were a kid, right?
Well, so, I mean, it's complicated. I don't think she is a lesbian anymore.
Really?
She's done with that. But, you know, I mean, you know what's interesting is, like, kind of, like, all the kids these days, like, all my friends who have, like, tweens and teenagers are like, oh, my kid is, like, pan, gender
fluid,
blah, blah,
blah. They're trying stuff on.
But they have all these, like, things, you know? And so it's then when you think of, like, our parents' generation, like, none of that was really, like, available.
Yeah.
you know? So I don't know. I should ask her what she would classify herself if she got litany of options. Yeah. But yeah, she went down there on purpose. I mean, she moved there on purpose, and like she had a girlfriend there for a while. And like, it is definitely a very distinct place.
What? Agent's son Max is in the room and just went, wait a minute, grandma had a girlfriend?
We can talk about that later.
Yeah.
We'll talk
so about we're learning all kinds of stuff today. Sorry to make that weird.
No, it's fine. How did
she break it out to you that like she goes, by the way, I'm moving to this lesbian commune?
I mean, my mom is like super impulsive, and she just like makes choices and then like informs you of them as if you already knew. You know what I mean? Like,
that sounds like someone I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think she did it when I was like 24 or like 25.
Okay.
She was just like, oh, yeah, I've sold my house and I'm going to Florida.
Did you know it was a lesbian commune, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't.
I mean, there's no way not to know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, did she give you that information up front? I'm moving to Florida to a lesbian commune. I'm moving to Florida.
Did.
And then you went down there and you're like, hey, everyone here looks like Roger Ebert.
She would have said a woman's community.
Gotcha.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like, it's like men are only allowed like in the public spaces from like 11 to 1. Like,
PM.
Yeah.
Oh, like really that short?
Yeah, you have 2 hours
gotcha.
To be like at the clubhouse or at the pool, like otherwise.
And you have to be doing manual labor.
You should.
Yes,
no.
You have to
no,
be in
the
uniform?
Women do manual labor.
But sure.
I mean, they hire the lesbians of Fort Myers to work there.
The lesbians of Fort Myers.
Yeah.
A new collection of poems
yeah.
from Adrian Gunn. Available now for the Penguin.
Yeah, it's
imprint.
A super interesting place. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's really good. We're okay. I'm going to ask you. Oh, good. We're right on time.
Oh,
last
good.
Question.
How's this been
you were,
for you?
This has been great. You
okay,
you were really shook about like we have to do a whole hour and we've done over an hour. So that's great.
Look
good for you.
Go.
This has been fun. I'm glad you got to come in today.
Yes, thank
I
you for
talk
having
to you all day.
Me.
The last question I always ask everyone is like worst show you ever did.
Oh, God.
It could be a single event. Could be a run you did. Could be anything. Just worst show you ever saw. Anything. It's just about like trying to get to that place.
I honestly haven't had that many bad shows.
Oh,
well, because I'm a three, so I'm like an over-preparer. I have been forced to host before, and I don't think I'm great at that.
I
would say, like,
skill.
I've hosted the Cates recently, and my friend said I was good, but I found it very uncomfortable and
fair.
Did not. You know, if I'm not getting, like, laughs right away, like, I have no chill. I'm like,
I do the same thing. I have no chill. If I don't get laughs right away, I just berate the audience and tell them why that was funny.
Right.
Because I'm very...
That seems on brand.
It's very on brand.
Out.
And it's also sometimes successful and
yeah.
sometimes isn't. It's like,
yeah.
ah, up yours. That was funny.
Yeah.
And let me explain to you.
I was in a play once, too, and I do not think I was good in that
So
at
tell
all.
Me about the play. What was the play?
My friend Vincent wrote a play, and I was the wife in it. I was a wife in like couples counseling and she was like, I think kind of like generally bitchy, which you'd think I would be like naturally good at. But like, I don't think I'm a very good actor. I think I'd be a good reality TV star. Like, I think I could have my own brand of myself, but like asking me to do, I can't stretch very well.
That's fair. You could improvise in Chicago then because it's all about, there's no character. You just play yourself basically,
yeah.
which is the most exciting thing to watch.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Thank you for listening,
where can they,
listeners.
Yeah, hey, thank you all for being here. Hey, where can they find you? Plug all your stuff.
Oh, yeah. I have a website. Do people go to that? Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on Instagram. You can see me at Real Adrian Gunn.
Spell it. We're here. Like, this
oh, okay.
This is the part where you actually have to promote yourself.
Okay, so it's at Real, R-E-A-L, dot Adrian, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E. Dot gun, G-U-N-N.
Dot
was that
gun.
What you wanted
yes.
me to do? Okay,
yeah. Dot
yeah, that's
gun.
What it is.
That's like that's the thing they need to know. So like Adrian Gunn, A-D-R-A-N.
E.
Right, but
yeah.
what I'm saying is not
yeah.
if you don't.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, you could Google me, Adrian Gunn.
I hate you so much. You're doing great. So Adrian Gunn, you've got stuff published,
yes.
obviously, Chicago Mag.
And, yeah, get a Chicago Magazine subscription. That's the most important thing. It's like $20 for the year.
Yeah.
Get yourself one. You find me. It's the experimentalist column.
The experimentalist column.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now that we've named that puppy, the experimentalist yeah. column. Adrian Gunn has been my guest, who I just have had such a blast talking to because... You're like the worst kind. Everyone has like those friends that you only can say awful things in front of. And I feel like that's where we are. So I'm fine with that. If we were off air, things would be very different. And I'm glad that you were able to come in. And I do mean that. I'm glad that everyone's having a good day. And thank you all for distracting me for as I work through kind of a rough day today. But we're here.
And we're full of magic. That's it. Full of magic. It's dumb things to say out now. I don't know. What are we going to say? You know what? Let's do a little old school Weezer just because I'm in that kind of mode. I hope everybody's feeling good. You've been listening to Busted Mouth on Q4 Radio, Q4.org. Shots! You can find us every single Monday from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. The TuneIn app, the Apple Radio, all over the place. And we're going to go out with some old school Weezer just because I'm in that kind of mode. This is El Scorcho. See you next week.
Public enemy, why you wanna go and do me like that? Come down on the street and dance with me. I'm a lot like you, so please, hello. I'm here, I'm waiting. Oh, I think I'd be good for you, and you'd be good. Listening to Cho-Cho San, fall in love all over.